Ladies and gentlemen, making his way to the mic, straight out of London, UK, you are listening to Max the WrestleManiac, if you will.
Maniac gang, welcome or welcome back to the WrestleManiac UK show. My name is Mex. I hope you are all well. I'm feeling good. It's been a good week, apart from the temperature in London has drastically dropped and it is so cold right now. Yeah, but yeah, I said I'll never complain about the cold. I went to New York in January 2016. And I was almost trapped in New York. I actually overstayed how long I was meant to be there because of how cold it was, the snow and everything, a mad blizzard and things like that. And I said I'll never complain about the cold again because I've seen the cold in New York. But yeah, it's cold in London right now. It's cold. And to be honest, wrestling is a bit cold right now as well. I'm probably not the only person that feels this. Right now, we have like a bit of a lull period. We've had Survivor Series, we've had Full Gear, you know, over on the AEW side of things. And we're kind of winding down from 2021, you know? The next big kind of thing on the wrestling calendar, if you like. You got Wrestle Kingdom for the New Japan fans. We've got Royal Rumble. But we do have a couple of shows in between. AEW have Winter is Coming, which is in the next couple of weeks. WWE have Day One, which is on the 1st of January. So we will be kind of building up to the... I assume wrestling is going to get better in the next week or two as we get closer to these smaller shows and then into the new year, like we said, New Japan, Wrestle Kingdom. 3 nights, absolutely crazy, absolute madness. But the third night is a collaborative night with Noah over there in Japan, so that's going to be really fun to see. And then of course Royal Rumble is always fun. So yeah, although it is a bit cold now, a bit dull right now, I'm assuming in the next couple of weeks things are gonna pick up. And again, there's not even like any big matches to kind of talk about that, you know, have at least kept us entertained. Danielson is still, you know, kicking people's heads in over on AEW, which is absolutely entertaining. I'm absolutely loving that. Maybe the last great match on the WWE side of things that I think I've seen was at Survivor Series, the women, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair. Even that, like I say, a couple of weeks ago now. A banger of a match I did watch this weekend, a very, very fun match. It's actually on Progress. Roy Johnson versus Warren Banks. They have an ongoing story about Roy Johnson's kind of new character or his new take on things, being this fun loving guy from Ibiza, you know, residing out there. And Warren Banks wants the man them back. He wants, you know, the thug he knows, Roy Johnson, back in the 8-7, which is their faction. And I guess Warren Banks set out to kind of beat it into Roy, or beat the real Ibiza guy out of Roy, if you like. Really, really fun match on Progress this past week. Chapter, is it 126 or 127 for those that want to kind of go back and find it? And yeah, really, really fun physical match from the two guys. And it actually works out brilliantly because this week on the show, I actually spoke to Warren Banks. And it was amazing to have a conversation with him. We spoke about, you know, his beginnings, how he got into wrestling, especially from the Nigerian background, you know, his heritage Nigerian. Myself, I'm Nigerian. And it's absolutely mind-blowing how, like I refer to in the interview, which you'll listen to in a second, he almost came off a perfect path that he was following in terms of academically and work he was going to get into to pursue this dream of becoming a wrestler. Obviously, still on the grind, still, you know, making his name up through the ranks. But I definitely wanted to speak to Warren because I wasn't too adverse to the UK Brit rest scene, if you like. a couple of years ago, and as I started getting into it, Warren Banks' name was everywhere. Anything I was watching, anything I happened to follow, any promotion or anything like that, Warren Banks just seemed to be on the card. So this is clearly a young man working very hard to pursue his dream, definitely achieving, definitely climbing the ranks. And, you know, I do hope we're going to see him on the big stage somewhere very, very soon. Before we get into the interview, guys, firstly, if you could please subscribe and follow on your podcast platform of choice. If you're able to, if you're listening via Apple Podcasts or Apple Music, whatever it's called, leave us a 5-star review. It will be very, very much appreciated. And of course, share the podcast as well on your social media platform. Send it to a friend. I'd really, really appreciate that. But without further ado, let's get into it. This is my discussion, my chat, my interview with Warren Banks, the Nigerian Kaiju. So it's great to be here speaking to the Wrestle Island champion, Mr. 87, because I think you are a big part of this faction that we see around the place in the UK scene these days. I'm speaking to Warren Banks. Warren, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Yourself? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Very well. I mean, I am someone that has kind of got into a lot of the UK stuff over the past year or two, especially during the pandemic period.
Yeah.
And when wrestling kind of came back in the UK, obviously still in front of no crowds and stuff.
Yeah.
You are one name I saw all over the place, especially obviously on Progress.
Yeah.
What was it like just, you know, not being able to wrestle firstly, and then when you could, it was, you know, in front of nobody?
Yeah, it was weird, man. So not being able to wrestle is one of those ones where I remember my last show that I did was for Riptide, and I remember driving up and listening to the news, and it was like, oh, the death toll is at this. And I was like, oh, okay, that doesn't sound good. Mm-hmm. And then we wrestled the show, and me and Gene Money are driving back, and it's like a further how many hundred people have died, like, in between me getting there and me leaving. I was just like, this is bad. And then a few days after that, we all got locked inside. So not being able to wrestle, it's one of those things where you kind of saw it coming because you could see from the news and stuff which way it was going to go. But then, yeah, I was doing like exercise in my garden and stuff like that. And like I had a mattress that I put out, and I was doing flip bumps on the mattress to try and like, yeah, that's it, man. Just trying not to lose the conditioning. But when it became clear that we were not getting out anytime soon, it was just sort of like, okay, this is it. So I started trying to like find other things to do. I started doing Uber Eats deliveries. I started, what else did I do? I started trying to do a bit of like Twitch streaming and stuff like that, just wherever I could to distract myself. And then the second part of your question, like when it was coming back in front of nobody, that was weird. Like it was easier to adapt to than you would think, but it was weird. It was almost like it, not that it didn't count, but you wrestle and then no one will see it for like a month.
Yeah.
And then when people see it and they react, I remember I was watching like Natural Progression, and I was in like a Zoom chat with my friends, and I was like soaking in the bathtub, watching myself wrestle. And I was like, this is weird.
And how long ago was that? Was that like a month ago, like you say?
Yeah. So it was like, we recorded it, I think towards the end of January, and then it was released February, March, I think. So it was, and even the stuff that's airing now that was recorded, I'm peeling the curtain away because it's the last set anyway. So it was recorded in like the beginning of September, and we're in, looking at my calendar, end of November. So it's like I've had a whole injury that's happened and been healed in between now and then, and like people are watching me wrestle with one arm, and I've got two arms again. So it's like, it's odd. It's weird stuff, man.
I guess that's the beauty of production and filmmaking and all of that kind of stuff at the same time. But yeah, just like you're saying, I remember even, you know, Roy Johnson, he was saying that when he got the gig to be like the host of Progress and stuff like that. And I was thinking, like, okay, cool. That's great. Obviously on the WWE Network, which is obviously great for all of you guys getting that exposure. And it was just like waiting forever to actually see this show come
That's
out.
What I'm like... I got mad anxiety. I remember just saying to people, like, oh, what if it's bad? What if it's, oh no, what if it, you know what I mean? I started fretting. I remember, like, as it was getting closer to airing, I remember, like, deleting all the apps on my phone and logging out everything because I was like, oh, I don't know how people are going to react. Like, all this sort of stuff, innit? Like, because I guess as human beings, a lot of us, we tend to have these anxious predictions of what things will be. But it was just mostly positive. Like, you have a few people have an agenda against the company for whatever reason, but like no one's faulted the actual in-ring work, which is good, which is what I feel is important.
And just to ask if I can, do you guys get the opportunity to see the match before it airs?
No. Like, we don't, you can if you want to, like, because we do it in blocks, innit? So like, I've turned up on, like, I walked in on day two and there's like us and that watching their match from the day before because they've got it all on the hard drive. And so if you want, you can watch the unedited stuff. Mm. But like, I tend not to because like one of my goals at being a progress was just to like not mess up.
Yeah.
So I didn't do anything particularly too adventurous or nuts that I haven't necessarily done before. So my thing is just like, don't freak yourself out. Because what will happen is I'll watch it and I'll be like, can we record it again? Can we do another one today and record it again? You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I'll never be happy with it. So I just left it as it was.
Oh, no, that's good. There's some, I think there's probably a bit of excitement. So you can still feel it as a fan somewhat, just seeing it, you know, live when everyone else is seeing it as well.
Yeah.
Which could be fun. So, okay, interesting. You said you went to Riptide. Riptide's based in Brighton, is it?
Yes, yeah.
What's the furthest you've went for wrestling?
Ooh, it's either Riptide or Wrestle Island. I'll have to pull up Google Maps to figure out which one is the furthest away. So Wrestle Island is in Birkenhead, which is in Merseyside. So that's Liverpool. Yeah, and then Brighton is obviously in Brighton. I think Wrestle Island's the furthest, I think.
Yeah, I'd assume that Merseyside area is further than...
Right. Especially now I live in Essex, so it's sort of like there's an extra hour and a half on top. So yeah, definitely, I think Wrestle Island now. Yeah,
cool. And you're the champion over there, so I'm guessing you're going to be there a lot more frequently as well.
Yeah, I would hope so, man. Like, it's a place where, like, going off on a bit of a tangent, it's one of those places where it's a very fulfilling place to work. Like, they always draw really well, and they're these really passionate, lovely family crowds that also appreciate a bit of the work rate stuff as well. So you get to wrestle the way you would like to wrestle and also do some of the camp show in inverted commas interaction with the crowd, and they respond to all of it. And it's like just such a great place to be. And it's one of those things where a lot of people kind of have like, oh, here's my dream list on my hit list of like these cool Twitter popular places to work. And I'm just there like, Wrestle Island is one of the best places you'll ever work. Like, you're looked after, it draws well, you're paid. It's just great. Like, I'm not just saying it because I'm the champ, I've been saying it for ages. There's a reason I make the journey, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I make the journey and I don't complain, you know what I'm saying? Like, because it's good. It's good.
How you said in inverted commas, camp wrestling, and, you know, I guess it's that kind of fun, family-friendly more style of things. Just in general, I know it must... Well, you tell me before I make any assumptions. When you tell people you're a wrestler, what's like the maddest reaction you've ever had to that?
I remember when I was like, so side, the context of this is I do have like a background in law. So I did my law degree and then did postgraduate studies and was called to the bar. So it's sort of like to get called to the bar after attending these qualifying dinners, which is basically you and other students and all these like lawyers get together for dinners like 12 times, right? And one of them was me explaining to this guy, being like, oh, I wrestle. And he was just like, it was just like this sort of like posh mid-50s white dude. And he just looks at me and he goes, you mean the bloody WWE stuff, don't you? And I was just like, yeah. Do you remember? And he's like, I bloody love it. And I was like, hey, my guy. So it's just me bonding with this old lawyer guy about like looking Bret Hart and stuff. Like, I wouldn't say that was like the maddest, but it's probably the funniest place I can say I've been accepted of. Like, this dude was out there arguing in front of judges earlier today, and now he's talking to me about like Brett V. Owen. That's great. So
the contrast is mad.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it shows that wrestling, if you get it, no matter who you are, you get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't say I've had too many over the top reactions, but that was probably my most fun one. Like,
what about from let's say a lady? I don't know your relationship status, but if you were, say, out on the town and it came out somehow that you're a wrestler, has that ever happened before?
Yes, but like, but like, it's just like the standard, oh, can you pick me up? And all that kind of stuff. And I'm just like,
oh, that kind of stuff.
No. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but like, yeah, that sort of stuff, it does come up. And like, now I'm like at an age, which I will not disclose, but I'm at an age where people are just like, oh, my son loves it, or my daughter loves it, and that sort of stuff. And it's just like, that's cool, man. Like, but yeah, never too much of a mad reaction from the women. And I'm happily married now, so it's just like, I've been out there before she sees this person, yeah. Yeah. In my sleep. So, but yeah, now it's telling people you wrestle is always a strange one, because it's the same question, like, oh, is it real? Does it hurt? Does it really hurt? Like, stuff like that. And it's, I'm yet to, I think people kind of sometimes feel a bit embarrassed about wrestling sometimes, like,
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, again, I'm at an age now where I couldn't care less about like what people think about what I wear on music, mm-hmm. or that sort of stuff in it. But I feel like a lot of people do worry about that. But I've never had, in the 5+ years I've been doing this now, I've never had anyone like take the piss or anything like that. That's it's true. More like curiosity. Or I've even had people like I've worked with like come to shows just to see it, you know what I mean? So it's,
that's it.
I think people need to worry a bit less about what people think and just kind of be enthusiastic about what they care about, you know what I mean?
100%. I 100% agree with you. And I think everyone generally that's kind of in this scene, whether it's through media, you know, wrestlers themselves, it's just like, this is what I do. You see what I mean? Like, there is that stigma, especially still in the UK, of,
yes,
you know, well, you watch wrestling and all of this, you know, kind of stuff. But yeah, we're slowly getting past that. And it's on to better things. But we want to get to know a bit more about yourself. So we're going to play a bit of this or that, hear a bit of your preferences in regards to certain things in wrestling. So we'll start first with two top dogs, John Cena or Roman Reigns.
Oh, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? Oh. I think because he's been and gone, and I know, I'll say John Cena. Roman Reigns could be that guy by the time he's done. But for me, it's John Cena, man.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Tights or trunks?
I wear both, you know.
I know. That's
and I switch between the two, isn't it? Tights or trunks. I prefer tights. Like, I feel a lot less self-conscious in tights. And I also don't have to shave my legs, shave my thighs. But I know and have been told by a lot of people I do look better in trunks. But I personally prefer tights.
Okay. Quickly, is there any like stigma against wrestlers that maybe wear one over the other?
No, never. Nah, like, for a lot of us, it is just comes down to, like, I know Aleister Black used to do like live shows in long tights because he couldn't be able to shave his legs and then just do TV in trunks, you know what I mean? So but I think for like Lycos told me, Lycos One told me, like, try and stick to one so there's a consistency in your look. Mm-hmm. But I was sort of like, I don't know, man, Ricochet gets away with switching between them. Like, if you've got three shows in a weekend, then you don't want to be on day three wearing these tights you've worn 3 days in a row for this poor guy. You want to, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, I've got multiple sets of gear, but I kind of like switching between the two as well, because it's like your pitches come out different and stuff like that. So there's little things I like to think about.
Exactly. Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels?
You're choosing violence today, bro. Oh, no. Oh. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, it's got to be HBK, but not by much. But it's got to be HBK. It's got to be HBK for me.
Cool. Spot fests or strong style?
That I prefer to watch, I prefer to do.
You prefer to do?
Strong style. I prefer just leathering people, like pulling the curtain, not like I'm not unsafe, but pulling the curtain back. So my match is with Chris Ridge. It feels real.
Yeah, it does
feel real, and it brings like pulling the curtain back. My match was with Riddy on the tape, and so like the first match we had, he's an agent, so he's trying to help put matches together. And I had some kind of crazy news in my personal life, so neither of us had time to get together and talk about the match. So he just went, "You were just go out there and wrestle." So we just did everything on the fly for like 8 minutes, and all we did was just sort of grapple and fight each other. And then when we had our kind of feud ending match, again, that's kind of all we did, but we hit each other hard, but safely, but hard. Mm-hmm. And I find that it is more authentic. I enjoy it more, and it brings out like the Warren Banks in me a lot more to be aggressive. Like, spot fests are fun, but I prefer to just fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So to fight people. So yeah, strong style. Yeah. And then to watch, probably strong style again, but again, not by much. Depends what mood I'm in, you know?
Yeah, okay.
What about you, man, actually? You know what? You know, ask me all these questions. What about you, strong style or spot fest?
I think it is very much a mood kind of thing. Like, you know, Walter versus Dragunov, for instance, was amazing. And then on the other side of things, like in AEW, a couple months ago, we got Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros in the cage match. And I still think that's probably the best cage match I've seen in my life.
Legit, it is. Like, I don't remember anything that good since we were like, probably, I say we, I'm not sure I hold you up, but since I was a kid, like, sort of like an attitude era with the Hardys and those sort of guys doing that.
Yeah. So it's very much not one or the other, just, you know, what you're feeling for at the time.
Exactly.
DX or NWO?
Oh man, because I used to run around crotch chopping.
I got suspended from school.
I got in trouble at school, yeah. For like to the dinner ladies, I was like to the lunch ladies on the playground, didn't it? Like, DX or NWO? Oh man, I think I preferred DX. I think they did more sort of fun, crazy, out there stuff. The NWO was cool.
Yeah.
But like, you know, when you kind of get older and people ruin it for you by telling you what it was really like, and it was like, oh, they were just burying people and
that's
stuff.
It.
Oh,
yeah.
It takes away from
the joy like, sucked out of you.
You know what I mean? Yeah. DX for me.
All right. Pete Dunne or Tyler Bate?
I feel like I don't want to answer this because I've met them both personally. Pete Dunne or Tyler Bate? I find what Tyler Bate does incredibly impressive. Like, I think he's tremendous. Like, he can fly, he's powerful and everything. And then for Pete, he's someone that, like I said, I've met a couple of times and like done seminars with and stuff, and like he has such a mind for the storytelling and like the Shakespeare of it, you know what I'm saying? And for me, being able to tell stories through physicality, I would probably say I prefer Pete for that reason.
Yeah.
Like, not that Tyler can't, but I just feel like Pete is maybe just a little bit above in that sense. Like, yeah.
Maybe so it's Pete Dunne for me. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say because he's older than him. So it's just not to say that when Tyler hits that age, he won't be doing the same thing. So, like, yeah.
Would you rather wrestle in Japan or wrestle in the US?
Japan. I didn't have to think about that. Sorry. Japan. Japan. It's like watching like the G1. I was like, I think a year into training, and I watched like a G1, and that completely changed my mind in terms of like what I want to be and how I want to wrestle and stuff like that. So yeah, Japan, without a doubt.
That's some good influence there.
Yeah, right.
Would you rather be thrown off a Hell in a Cell or put through the Hell in a Cell?
Oh man, thrown off like onto a table, right?
Onto a table, let's say, yeah.
And then through the actual thing and take the bump in the ring.
Yeah.
I would probably be thrown off. And I know it sounds weird, but like taking bumps outside, I've never hurt myself. Whereas like I've landed funny or landed in rings and like either hurt myself. I broke a board once. Eddie Dennis gave me like his off the crucifix throw thing, and I landed and I cracked one of the boards under the ring, and I was walking funny for like 2 months. Whereas I've taken like back body drops on the hardwood floor outside a ring and I've been fine. So I'll take the off the cell for me.
Off the cell.
Yeah.
Austin or The Rock?
The Rock, bro. The Rock. I appreciate Austin. Don't get me wrong. Austin's sick, but like growing up, it was The Rock for me. I can't even lie. Yeah,
likewise. And last but not least, the most important of them all, jollof rice or rice or stew? Say the right thing, bro.
Jollof with the plantain or the rice and beans with the stew? Ah.
Say the right thing.
It's
bro.
You know what, man? It's a close one still. It's a close one. I'm going to say the jollof. Listen, the rice and stew, when I got with the rice and beans and stew and that, like, it hits. But then the jollof, like, with the plantain. Sometimes I even put a bit of stew with, I know it's a bit much, with the jollof in it. Like, yeah, I think it's probably a tie in my heart. I think it's 50-50. But if someone had a gun to my head, I'd be like, the jollof, I'll just take the jollof. Man. Yeah, that's it. But you're not wrong for loving the rice and stew, bruv, because that's a classic. You can't go wrong with rice and stew straight up.
I feel like jollof rice is the commercial answer, but
it's the politically correct one, isn't it? It's what the people want to hear you say.
That's exactly
it. He likes jollof.
But for those that don't know, we're talking about Nigerian cuisine here, both being Nigerian. What does Nigerian kaiju mean? Where did you
come from? Oh, right. So, like, I'm just a massive, like, anime nerd. Like, so, like, when I was a kid, it was waking up to catch the sci-fi channel to watch, like, Neon Genesis Evangelion and, like, watching Gundam Wing and stuff after school, staying up late to watch, like, there was this channel, I think it got rolled back into Cartoon Network, but it was called, like, CNX, and it had, like, Outlaw Star, Cowboy Bebop, Big O, all of these animes and stuff, so it's just, like, and invariably, there would be giant monsters called kaiju, so I was, like, cool, kaiju, and then I am aggressively Nigerian off camera, so it's just like so it's just like kind of combining the two things, because I was playing around with it, because I was like because I'm from up north, I'm from Kaduna, so like in Hausa it would be like Ojoro Naija, which is just like a Nigerian monster, and I'm like, I can't get a ring announcer to pronounce that, so but like a Nigerian kaiju is the closest thing, so combine the two things, I guess that was it for me.
It sounds good. It definitely sounds
It took a while for me to like it, like, but yeah, I think it works. Thanks, man.
And that new t-shirt you have, I need a link, because I'm gonna buy that one. The one with half you and half the monster.
Do you know what, right? That was supposed to be a t-shirt, and then the pandemic hit. So like I just sat on a design and I was like, I'm gonna release it as a sticker. If it's liked or people like it, I'll release it as a t-shirt. But I've got another design in, on its way, so like I'm kind of sitting on it at the moment. But if you're liking it as a t-shirt,
when the t-shirt's ready, off camera,
I can get one made when we're off camera. I'll see if I could be able to talk. We'll talk, but if you
when
want
the
it, then
t-shirt's ready. I definitely need that, bro. But like you said, Nigerian kaiju, obviously, a hop back to your heritage. Now, what I wanted to talk to you today, because I don't want to make an assumption, like a blanket assumption over all Nigerians, but generally speaking, as Nigerians, I know how we've grown up, especially in the UK. Our parents have come over here, they want us to do certain things as they know it, as this is the quote-unquote road to succeed in this life.
100%.
I'm going to say, with all due respect, you have come off that road, especially the fact you're telling me you have a law degree. Like, I knew you went to uni, I didn't know what you studied. But with a law degree, massive congratulations, by the way.
Thanks, man.
I have friends that, you know, I know they sweated to get that. They're still doing, like, you know, masters and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You've come off the road that the many path, would have thought, like, what are your parents letting you do? Come off this road to become a wrestler of all things. Like, when did you first think, okay, I'm going to become a wrestler? And how does that conversation go down in the household?
So when I first thought it, I had a match with Ryan Smile. And I had the flu going into that. Yeah, rest in peace, man. I had the flu going into that match, but like I kind of insisted on doing it. And that match was terrible. It was so bad. He kept like doing his best to try and like get me through it, and I just couldn't because I was freaking dying.
And this was your first match ever?
No, this was like a few months in.
Okay.
Even though I was fully fit, I don't think I would have been able to do that well. I don't think I was ready for it, but like had that match with him, and then we got backstage, and I was like, oh, he's going to tear me a new one, he's going to chew me out. And like, he didn't. He was just like, he put his arm around me, and he was just like, okay, here's what you need. Like, you need moves, you need to change your gear, and we need to talk. And I was like, okay, cool. So in front of everyone, I was like, okay, this is where it comes. This is where he takes my head off. And he was just like, here's what you need to do to be better at wrestling. And I was like, and he didn't have a single bad word to say, not privately nor publicly. And I was like, if someone as good as Ryan Smile can have a match with me where I was flipping terrible and still say that he sees something, I'm like, maybe there's something there. And then like from there, like my attitude kind of changed. I was kind of casual towards wrestling. But then after that match, like I started training more. Like, it didn't last long, but I did start going to the gym. Hate the gym. But, like, I started going to the gym. Shortly after that, I discovered, like, New Japan. And I was like, oh, wow, this is the style of wrestling that I want to do and stuff like that. And during all that time, I was working at a law firm. I was paralegaling. So I'd finished my law degree. I'd done the post-grad stuff, been called to the bar, so on and so forth. So I was paralegaling, still trying to get a pupillage, which is, like, the year-long thing where you're, like, a mini barrister, basically. Yeah. And during that time, I spoke to a promoter who had booked me against Rene Dupree. That match went fine. Yeah. Rene's great as well. I love him. But like that match went well. And we were at a bar and he was just like, I'm not going to lie to you. You could become a wrestler. You could also be a lawyer. But you cannot do both. And I was like, he's not wrong. he's not wrong. And with my, as you know, with the Nigerian, with the Africans, bruv, you know how we are with our parents. And it's sort of like, you will do this and you will do. And it's so I said to him, I sat down, I was just like, here's the thing, right? I've done everything that you've asked. I went to edit A-levels. I went to uni. I've been called to the bar. You've got the paper. I don't have the certificates. My dad's got them. Like after we come home from each graduation, he takes them and he's just like, yeah. And I never see him again. So he's got them somewhere. You know what I mean? Like oh it means more God. To him. It means more to him than it does to me. I've not seen them since I finished. Man didn't even get them framed. They're somewhere in his wardrobe somewhere, innit? Like
collector's item.
You know what I mean? But I'm there like, I've done everything you've asked. Here's this thing that I want to do. Like I'm going to get a different job, which pays better because paralegaling pays nothing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to pursue wrestling. And they were like, okay. But every few months they'll be like, so how's it all going? Are you gonna go back to law? And I'm just like, nah. Like, yeah. No, I'm not. And I think the moment they kind of started to see that it was worth doing was when it was sort of like I started going to different places and getting paid for it and like actually bringing money back and being like, here mom, here's a little for like the shop this week. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, and then as I started taking over more stuff in the house, like paying bills and so on and so forth, like the only bill I didn't pay was the mortgage, but I was able to, with wrestling and my normal job, like actually look after the house and stuff.
That's amazing.
Which I didn't appreciate at the time for being like a important thing. I was just like, it just seems like the thing to do because like they did it and stuff like that. So that conversation, I guess I answered both questions, but that conversation went pretty well because what more could they tell me? Like I was working in law, I'd done everything. And I say it's coming off the path, but I'm old enough and like smart enough to know the risks of doing so.
Yeah.
And that's where like, even now, man, I've got like, if not you or the restings guys, I don't think I'll be doing any more podcast or interviews because like the anxiety is kicking my ass. I've reduced my hours at work, gone part-time to try and pursue wrestling even more. And so I'm just sitting there like, it's literally, if I don't wrestle, I struggle to pay my bills. Mm-hmm. And that's the position I put myself in because it means I'm not going to be lazy, you know? So the conversation was a tough one. Then when I had the conversation about reducing my hours and going part-time and so on and so forth, like my wife was really supportive. And then my family were like, whatever you need, we'll help you with. And my dad was just like, good, it's about goddamn time. And I was like, you were telling me not to do it before. What do you mean? He was just like, at least this way, you know, if you fully apply yourself and if it works, then it works. And if it doesn't, you've tried and you have nothing to be ashamed of. And I was like, fair enough. We ain't wrong. So that's all we're at the minute, man. Like it's anxious times, but also it's both anxious and exciting, depending on your point of view on it. But yeah.
Bro, I respect the grind completely. Like,
even that you said at the top of the interview, you know, you were doing, you know, Uber Eats as well to balance it and stuff like that. It gets like that. It honestly does get like that, especially when you're pursuing a dream. And generally, I think I've seen this as well amongst, you know, my parents and other households as well. The minute you have done, you've clocked up those accolades, you've went to school, you're a married man, like the heart softens. They're still not going to want to hear that you're doing something like, you know, that's not to the norm. So
you know what I mean?
But it's like, well, he has done everything else. He's displayed he's a responsible person because he's able to, you know, draw money from what he's doing, pay bills, etc., etc. So it's like, okay, then fair enough. But of course, like you said, the anxiety comes with it, where we've just had a pandemic as well, and that's kind of shut things off. I guess things like, you know, injuries would worry the hell out of you then, right?
Yeah, and that's what happened when, like, so I did the progress last set of tapings. I tore my tricep and also a tendon in my elbow. Which was really, I was only able to, like, open doors about 4 weeks ago. So all I've been doing is just taking painkillers, putting deep heat, strapping the arm and just continuing to wrestle because I kind of have to.
Yeah.
You know, so I was just there like, oh, man, but what if it's my knee or what if it's something I can't work through? But, like, what if? I can't not do stuff because of what if, like, I feel that you have to take a risk. But it does worry me, but I also feel like I wrestle a safe enough style that hopefully something like that won't happen. But at the same time, whenever anyone does get done it with injuries, it's never anything cool, bruv. It's never the 630 that does you. It's the baseball slide.
It's something, you know, easy.
It's hopping down from the apron and landing funny. It's something weird like that. It's just like, do your Achilles doing a forward roll or some weirdness. Like, that's always how it goes.
That seems to be like fate. It's just one of those things. Like,
you're gonna get injured,
and it won't be the spot that everyone, you know, gasps for. It will just be something that probably people didn't even see happen.
You know what I mean? It's like, I was like one winged angel through the table. It's like, nah, man. When I hopped off the second after celebrating, my knee just went. It's just like, it's weird stuff like that. Like,
madness. Have your parents ever come and seen you wrestle?
Yeah, man. Yeah, they've had so again, when you say the heart softens, I think that was one of the moments, like, where they saw me win like a championship, and then my dad was just like, oh, I'm proud of you. And I was like, oh, I haven't had that in, like, you know how Nigerian dads are, innit, bro? They're just like, you know what I mean? you achieve something and they're just like, good, why don't you do it sooner? And you're just like, can I get something from you, please?
Nail on their heads.
Just a crumb, just a little sprinkle of affection, you know? But, like, he gave me a hug and he was like, I'm proud of you. And I was just like, excuse me. You know, listen, what I mean?
The day when I got married, my dad's speech, he said that, you know, he's a role model to the family and stuff like that. And that's like the first time in my life I've heard anything. That was what nearly broke me on that day. Not my wife walking down the aisle or anything like that. Like, because I was thinking, we generally, as Nigerian kids, African kids, we don't get this kind of affection. It's very much kind of, with love, you know, it's, you know, we want you to succeed and do this, this, and the other. But yeah, it's good to see that, you know, it's very much an accepted thing for you now, that family are comfortable with it. You got your support from wifey as well, which is always good. With wrestling, you, like you said, you've been doing it for 5 years now. What's been your biggest failure?
That's a good one, you know. I feel like I'm trying to think now, because now you said, I'm like, there's so many, like, I think small ones that happen, like a match doesn't go well or that sort of thing. Biggest failure. I think the Ryan Smile one, and that's something that, like, kind of, it pisses me off that he's gone, because I always was like, that match haunts me, but I'll get a chance to fix it when I'm good at wrestling.
Repay it,
And I can't, and I never can. And I feel like that may actually have to be the biggest one, because I'll never be able to fix it. You know,
I don't think you could be too hard on yourself for that if you're only a matter of months into wrestling. And I was going to ask you, you know, what was your biggest learn from the situation? But I think, like you said earlier, the encouraging words he gave you to let you know that I actually might have a future in this business, you know, that's probably some things you picked up from that situation, right?
Definitely. No, there's like, and the thing is, even when he wasn't on the scene, like, he would still message, like, you know what I mean, like, because he stepped away for a while, and he would still, like, if I posted a clip on Instagram, he'd still, like, DM me with, like, feedback and like bits of advice or what I could do different and stuff like that. So he still influenced, even though he wasn't publicly doing so. So it was just a case of like, and we were, I remember like being in a group chat, I won't say the name of the place of the promoter, but in a group chat, and there were plans for us to do stuff, and then the pandemic hit. And then obviously during that time, he's gone. So it's just, so it's just like, I'll probably say one of my biggest failures was obviously that match, but it's also the thing like I learned so much from, and it changed the course of my career. So as much of it was like a failure, it was also probably one of the best things that could have happened.
No, that's fair. With you know, when once you're in the business, you're wrestling and stuff like that, but beforehand, what was your big, one of your biggest inspirations? Whether it's person, style, it seems like you're quite into the whole Japanese style of wrestling per se. What was one of your biggest inspirations in the business?
In the business itself? I think I said this during the wrestling thing. It's Tama Tonga. I just realized I'm wearing a bullet. It's Tama Tonga because of the way he makes an effort to like move differently and hit his stuff with a little bit of sauce on everything that he does. And it's this thing of like, I'm not hating on any wrestlers. I'm one of my goals is to become better at technical wrestling. There's a lot of really, really, really good wrestlers who don't necessarily have swag or style or sauce when they do stuff. And that's fine. That's fine. But for me, it's sort of like, I wanted to be like, because I grew up watching anime, I grew up watching all these things where like the guy will do the superhero landing and then walk away looking badass. I'm like, I want to be that guy. You know, I want to be that dude who like does the enziguri and like powers up like he's Goku and needs you in the face. Like, that's how I want to be. So Tama Tonga to me kind of encapsulated that, and like he moves like all slick and stuff. Like, he doesn't move like a wrestler, he moves like Tama Tonga. So definitely him, man. Like, and then outside influences, I'll probably say guys like Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop is one. Like the fight scenes and that, definitely. What's his name? Trunks from Dragon Ball Z is another one. I know, like, literally, man, a lot of my influence and stuff come from like anime and movies and stuff like that.
It's good though that they're, you know, they're all concentrated in you know, they've got all something in common. It's not like, you know, one's from here and one's from this and one's from this. Nah. Because then if you're trying to kind of merge and make a character and all of that off it, it will probably be quite difficult.
No, that's it, man. Like, it's, I think the last one I would probably say from outside wrestling is a weird one, I know, but it was Achilles from Troy, Brad Pitt's character. Like, the way, like, you know, like he's in the fight at the beginning, and I'm not sure if people have seen the film, but like he runs up to the guy and he's got like the sword and he just jumps and stabs him in the neck and then just like balls off. And I was like, this guy's sick. So those sorts of things are what influenced me.
There was a point where I wanted Tama Tonga and Tangaloa to come over to America and see them in WWE. Like,
that'd be amazing.
With the whole swag thing.
FTR,
GOD were sick. At one point they were two.
They were my guys, bro. Like, they were my guys. GOD were my guys. Yeah. They still are to a degree, man. Like, I know, like, they were putting in shifts during the G1 and that, like, filling out. They did good. Like, and I saw, before I came off Twitter, I saw, I think, Kyle Fletcher and Tama Tonga going back and forth. And I'm like, I want to see that run back. I want to see that run back. Let's go. Because they had a well good match and a tag match.
And even when you talk about, like, putting a swag on the things you're doing in the ring, I pretty much think, along with, obviously, the great punchlines and the great comedic element of The Rock, when we were all probably growing up, The Rock was someone that every punch meant something. The kicks on the ground, like you say, it was just that little bit something extra, which just sold you on everything he was doing in the ring, which, you know, at the time as a child, it probably somewhat goes over your head.
Yeah.
But now you can acknowledge it, like.
Like when he used to throw a punch, it was a full body exercise, man. He shake the leg in it, and then he pull back, and he shake the hand, and bang, he follow through with every. I'm just everything. It was a full body. When he goes for the stomp, the man's shaking the leg, boom, like everything about it was just like. So I'm not that animated. I don't think about the Rock levels of like animated, but like I like to think like if someone were to watch me wrestle, they'd be like, oh yeah, that's him doing bits. If I was a silhouette, I think hopefully they'd be able to tell it was me, sort of thing. But there's something that can always be improved on, which I'm looking to do. So I may start doing the full body exercise strikes. Who knows? But like, we'll see.
Within the next 6 months in wrestling, what do you want to achieve?
Man, so leading up to answering that question. Have you seen the movie Shang-Chi?
No, I haven't.
There's a very good line in it, because there's a character in it who's kind of just like a bit of a, not a mess, but she just kind of is a happy-go-lucky person. And they hand her a bow and arrow, and she's not trained. It's like, what am I supposed to do with this? And like in the traditional old wise master martial arts thing, the lady goes, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit nothing. And I was just like, I need to hear that, because what are my goals? I didn't have any up until like a few weeks ago. I was just like, I just want to do well. And it's like, what does that look like? Like, what does that mean? You know, in the next 6 months, so that takes us up to about May, June of 2022. I want to wrestle abroad. I want to become an established regular at Progress with the live crowd. And with the world opening up, we're all going to have to fight harder to keep our spaces because imports are now on the table. And yeah. I want to wrestle those imports. I want to face a Bobby Fish. I want to face Aggression. I want to face these guys and prove that I belong. Mm-hmm. So I want marquee matchups against tremendous wrestlers. I want to wrestle in Europe. I want to wrestle in the US. And I think those probably be the three things. Wrestle in Europe, wrestle in the US, and wrestle, I want to say, I can't, because the list goes on in terms of like names, but like wrestle a big import, like a big import, like I said, like Aggression. I think the Aggression would be cool because there's such an interesting dynamic in terms of like there's a height difference, there's a style difference, there's like there's so much you could play with there. Like, so have you ever watched this? Like, but yeah,
the like. Your focus is admirable, to be honest, because even with you saying, yeah, you're coming off Twitter, you're really kind of honing in on what you want to do and what you want to achieve. It's that time. It's definitely that time. And I just think not even just for yourself personally, but just for UK wrestlers and wrestling in general. Like you said, there's a lot of things that's going to probably happen. And for instance, Progress, when is I've heard of when they're getting crowds back in. When do they plan to do that?
There's been a number of emails flying back and forth, and I've been in discussions with a fair few people. I am literally not allowed to say. Like
New Year, I'm guessing, though.
A little bit after that.
Okay.
A little bit after that, but I'm not allowed to.
That's fine.
Yeah, and the punishment of death. Like they said that. Like, but it's being worked on. Like they want it back as soon as possible. But there's a number of things happening that are preventing that. But like I think the first quarter of next year is where they're aiming for. But I can't say the exact like dates that we've been told and stuff like that.
That's cool. Like rightly, like you said, it's if everyone now has to sharpen each other, the whole sharpen iron, iron sharpens iron sort of thing. And you've got people coming in from abroad, people that would be X working for this company, X working for that company.
The logo on the poster, innit?
We still need the likes of yourself, front and center of these posters, up and down the country. So it's definitely time to really try to hone in this back end of the year and take what's yours. In general, what do you want from wrestling?
I want a stable income, whatever that looks like, whether that be a bunch of independent bookings or a contract with someplace in Japan or an AEW or so on and so forth. But that's a very good question. And it's not something I've really thought too much about. The stuff that I want to do within wrestling, but in terms of what I would like wrestling to give me, like,
because I know like, success looks different to different people.
It's different. That's it. It's hard to say, isn't it? So, like, what do I want from wrestling? Like, all wrestling's already given me so much. Like, it's made me so much more confident as a person. It's made me grow as a human being. It's made me, like, mentally tougher, physically tougher, given me tremendous friends. I met my wife through wrestling. Like, it's given me money in my pocket, which I've used to be able to, like, help my family and help other people and stuff. So wrestling's really given me so much. Like I can't really ask for more from wrestling other than to just keep allowing me to do it and feel so fulfilled in myself. You know what I mean? Like, Which I know is kind of a cheesy answer, but like it's
fine. It's more of the same times 10.
Yeah, exactly that, man. More, you've nailed it. More of the same to the power of 10, 20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll take more of what I'm getting now, you know what I'm saying? But like, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. As we bring this chat to a close, unfortunately, I wanted to ask you what we're calling your maniac moment. So this is the last thing that like truly popped to you in wrestling. What would you say that was?
The last thing that truly popped me in wrestling that made me lose my mind. Ooh, there's a lot, man. Like, I feel like, because I watch with wrestler goggles on.
Yeah.
I think it was the AEW pay-per-view where Cole and Daniel Bryan, the fan in me was just like, are you dumb? Like, are you trying not to wake up? Like, I'm just like, are you mad? That was madness.
Mental stuff.
That, I think that, like, even Hangman winning the belt, I was like, oh, that's sick.
Mm-hmm.
But how sick was that? The music, the promo, and then the music again, and it's Daniel Bryan, and you're just like, this is sick. I think that made me lose my mind big time.
I think that's going to be quite the answer for everyone for this year, at least.
Yeah.
And last but not least, give us one of your favorite matches that you appeared in that we could access and we can watch. Tell the people, you know, what your favorite one was.
One of my favorite matches was, it's hard to pick between the two, but myself versus Chris Ridgeway. I always call him Riddy because, like, it's hard. My mouth finds it difficult to say his name, so I just call him Riddy, like everyone else. Myself versus Chris Ridgeway, number two, which I think is available on the WWE Network and Demand Progress. I can't remember the exact chapter it was on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and then the close second would be the first match we had again on Progress, where we, again, if you watch it back, we just did everything on the fly. And I'm going to be cheeky and squeeze a third one in there. And it was myself versus Martin Kirby from like 2018 at IPW. I think those are my favorite matches I've had.
Cool. Well, definitely. I'm going to see if I can search them out and put the links in the description.
Ah, that'd be cool if you could, man.
So people can have a watch of them. Mr. Warren Banks, thank you so much for having this chat. Like you said, you've come out of your hiatus of not doing any podcasts or anything for this. So yeah. I fully do appreciate it, man.
No, that's cool. Man.
Like I said, if it wasn't for the pandemic happening and coming back and watching Progress, me having more of an effort to get into kind of UK wrestling, I probably wouldn't have known about you. I've started seeing you through Progress since then. I've seen you popping up on shows that, you know, places, promotions I don't even know of, but you know, I'm trying to see, you know, what I can get to and what I can see. Just keep at it, man.
Thanks, man. Nah, thank you. And like, keep doing what you're doing as well. Like, the support is appreciated, the enthusiasm is appreciated as well. Like, yourself and the wrestling guys, like you, I remember having a chat with like Ojmo and that backstage about just like how we need the scene as much as like it needs like wrestlers, it needs people like yourself, obviously, who like just flipping show love, critique still, but like have the right energy about things, and it makes such a world of difference for us. Like, we do, it sounds cheesy, innit, but like when the room has the right energy, we wrestle harder, we go harder, because you can, we feed off that.
We can see it and we can feel it as well.
That's it. Yeah. So like having guys like yourselves there, like it, and just on the scene creating content as well, like it just, it makes a world of difference. Like, so thank you for what you guys do as well.
We appreciate that, man. Keep working. We want to see more. Like we said, the same, but 10x, 20x. Mm-hmm. You know, we hope that you get everything from wrestling that you're after.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Thank you very much again to Warren Banks for coming through, having that conversation with me. Amazing. Could you believe this guy is a lawyer? Law degree, was following that path, and has almost, you know, like he said, after that conversation with Rene Dupree of all people, choose. What do you want to do? Do you want to be a wrestler? Do you want to follow the law path? Either way, you can't do both.
You can't do both, you know, well, if you like. So you got to commit, and that's what it is about in life, you know. You kind of got to choose whichever your path is and go full throttle at it. And like I said, man, Warren Banks doing a fantastic job right now. Great to see him on our screens, Wrestling for Progress, WWE Network. Like I say, I can only imagine with his focus, his dedication, the insight he gave us of what he wants to achieve in the next 6 months, in the next year, that, you know, his progress, no pun intended, is going to be immense. We're going to see a lot from Warren Banks, and I'm rooting for him. I really am rooting for him and the whole 8-7 gang there. Love all the work that those guys are doing all around the BritRest scene. But guys, I will have to show you when I get this t-shirt from Warren Banks, this t-shirt design that we were talking about. We all need to put pressure on him to do a major release of this, because this t-shirt is awesome. Honestly, it is so, so good. You don't often see a lot of good t-shirt designs nowadays. A lot of people are holding on to the nostalgic ones that we saw way back in the day. This is a great t-shirt design. The Nigerian Kaiju, Warren Banks. We definitely need to get him to mass produce those. We've got to apply pressure together, guys. That's what we need to do. But yeah, before we get out of here, I'll let you know what's going on the YouTube, WrestleManiac UK. Make sure you are always tuned in and subscribe to that channel. Just released a tier ranking video on the best gimmick matches with the Wrestlings guys and some other friends. That was a lot of fun. So let us know what your favorite gimmick match is of all time. New Break It Down on the channel as well. We've got Edge that we looked at. We looked at, you know, his aesthetic, legacy, his ability in ring, promo skills, and decided how good Edge really was. And of course, Wrestle Extra, the Black Wrestling Show. We spoke about all of the top stars for November. Of course, you can reach me on IG as well, Instagram, WrestleManiac.uk, for all wrestling news. And you might see me doing some foolishness on reels as well. That's always a bit of fun. Maniac gang, that is the show. Thank you for joining me. Please remember to subscribe to the podcast or follow us on your podcast platform of choice. If you're on Apple Music, leave us with a 5-star review. It is greatly appreciated. And just share the podcast as well. Share it on social media. Tell your friends to have a listen. That will be much appreciated. I will be back same time next week. Hopefully we got some more on the wrestling front to talk about. Some good stuff will happen in the next week. But yeah, that is all, guys. WrestleManiac UK signing out. And I'll see you soon.